Sentire Media.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to another episode of New Life in Italy. I'm your host, Samantha Wilson, and if you've ever daydreamed about blending your work days with the Italian charm of La Dolce Vita, then this episode is perfect for you. I've got some really great news that will have you probably packing your bags and booking a one-way ticket to Italy in no time. As of April the 5th of this year, 2024, Italy rolled out the red carpet for digital nomads and remote workers around the world by making available the brand new Italian Digital Nomad Visa. Now, we've been waiting for this one for a while, and finally, the Italian government gave its go-ahead, meaning that there is a new way for many people to move to Italy, even if it's just for a year, or maybe more, and those people that need to work. Now, this isn't just another digital nomad visa opportunity. It really is your chance to get in the door and enjoy life and work in one of the most beautiful and sought-after places on the planet, which before the digital nomad visa was pretty difficult to do. But before you sell up and start packing, there are some quirks to this visa. Surprise, surprise. And while we're still waiting to see how individual consulates will implement the application process, getting a head start on understanding the eligibility criteria will put you a step ahead. So stick around, because today I'm breaking it all down for you and will give you all of the eligibility requirements, the differences between the digital nomad visa and the self-employment visa, and help you get past some of the sticking points that I'm sure some of you are going to face. So are you ready to explore how you can turn your dream of living and working in Italy into a reality? Well, let's get started. I'm Samantha Wilson, Chief Dreammaker at SmartMoveItaly.com, and this is A New Life in Italy, a show where each week I take you behind the scenes of what it's really like to move to Italy, introduce you to some fascinating people, answer your questions, and show you how starting a new life in Bel Paese is possible for you. All right, let's dive right in. I'm going to get right to the point and tell you that the digital nomad visa for Italy is different from what you might know from other countries. Now, the key difference really is focused on one thing, and that is highly skilled people, not simply someone that can work remotely like you see in other countries. Italy has aligned its digital nomad visa very closely with another visa that you may or may not be familiar with. And this is a visa called the EU Blue Card Visa. And this is a visa that is designed for non-Europeans, for all of Europe actually, but for non-Europeans that are highly skilled, and it allows them to work in any EU country because the European Union wants to attract these highly skilled people to help them grow and advance and become, you know, the powerhouse that they're becoming. So in Italy, to get the Italian Blue Card Visa, you would need to have an employment contract for at least 25,000 euros a year, as well as a degree, a highly skilled person, of course. And the digital nomad visa is super similar to the blue card visa, except for the inclusion of two things, the remote worker and the digital nomad. Now, let me set the foundation for what these two terms mean, because it's important. The remote worker is someone that is employed by a foreign company. It can also be an Italian one, but someone who actually has a work contract, has a job, and is employed. They're a worker, but they can do it remotely. A digital nomad, on the other hand, is a freelancer, or it can be someone who is self-employed. And meaning, like, if you have many contracts with lots of different clients, you could be a freelancer. However, if you own your own business in your home country that employs you, you would be self-employed. And this is a digital nomad. So the distinction is super important because the qualifications and the application process can be different for each of these. Now, before I get into the criteria, I want you to ask yourself, are you a remote worker, meaning you have a job with permission to work remotely, or are you self-employed or a freelancer? Okay, have you got it? Do you know which one you are? Now, let's see what you need to do and what you need to bring to the table to make your dream of living in Italy a reality on the digital nomad visa. Let's start with who can apply. To apply for the Italian digital nomad visa, you'll need a number of things. And here's where we have to base our interpretation of the law with the application of the procedure at the consulates. And that can vary really from one consulate to the next. And if any of you have been through this process or have heard of this process, you know that this is really discretionary in Italy and that consulates have a wide range of power. So even though you could meet all of the criteria, it is still up to the discretion of the consulate to make a decision on your visa. So this is usually where all the turbulence can begin. Now, first, you need to apply at an Italian consulate in the jurisdiction from which you reside. So wherever you are legally a resident now, that's where you need to apply for the digital nomad visa. You cannot apply for it for the first time applying for it anywhere else or in Italy directly. It has to be in the place of your residence. Now, this applies for both the remote worker version and the digital nomad version of this visa. So here's the criteria that you need. This is the general criteria. First of all, let's talk about the income, because this is an important distinction. As some of you may already know, the income that they give you on visa websites is usually just the bare minimum. It's just the line you have to get to. But we know from other visas, like the elective residency visa, that you will need to show a lot more. So we can anticipate this will be the same for the digital nomad visa. What they're asking for is a minimum of 28,000 euros a year as an income. Now, of course, I expect the consulate to ask for a lot more than this. And if you're bringing your family or you have kids, make sure that you have a significantly higher amount than the minimum of 28,000. Now, there's nothing to say that the income itself needs to come from a single source or even just the source of your digital remote work. Rather, it's a total income. So, for example, if your remote work is only bringing in 10 grand a year, let's say, but you have other income like a pension or rental income somewhere else, that will top up your income to be 28,000 more than 28,000 is better, then you can still qualify. So it doesn't mean that you need 28,000 from your remote work. It just means you have to have at least 28,000 of income in totality for this application. Now, the next one is health insurance. You will need, as in most visas, a comprehensive 12-month coverage to ensure that you are taken care of in the case that you need to see a doctor. Of course, you don't want to be a burden on Italy, and they don't want you to be either, so they need this insurance. And essentially, it's travel insurance. So it should cost you maybe $300 to $500 a year for this 12-month insurance. Now, if you end up staying in Italy and become a resident, then you can eventually also pay a voluntary fee to join the Italian healthcare system. But first, you need this 12 months of health insurance. Now, the other criteria is a criminal record check, and this is where people get confused. It isn't a criminal record check for you, but rather for your employer, and it only applies to the remote worker designation. So if you're a remote worker, then it is your employer who is going to have to provide an affidavit that says that the employer and the company has never been involved in any criminal activity. Not you, the worker, but the actual employer and the employer company. And this has to do with anti-money laundering legislation and concerns here in Italy. Now, if you're a digital nomad, which means that you are a freelancer or self-employed, then you don't need to submit a criminal record check yourself. Now, of course, if your company is employing you, then your company will have to submit an affidavit. But if you're just a freelancer, you do not need a criminal record check. However, you're going to like me saying however, some consulates do still like to have a criminal record check. And again, it's at their discretion. So I recommend, because these checks can take a long time, especially if you need to get them apostille, which is legalized, they can take a long time. So I recommend that you go ahead and get a federal and a local criminal record check just to be safe. Now, the next criteria is the one that gets a lot of people into a hotspot. And this is a place to live in Italy. So you need to prove that you have a place to go to live. And if you're familiar with the elective residency visa, you know that before you can even apply for the visa, you need to have a place to live and secured in Italy. And now this can be either a rental with a registered lease or own a home in Italy. And the same goes for the digital nomad visa. Now, unfortunately, an Airbnb or a hotel booking does not qualify you for the digital nomad visa. For some of you, this can be a really difficult hurdle to overcome, not just because renting is hard in Italy, but because it's going to cost you some money. If you don't already own a home, you are going to need to rent. And that means that you're going to have to put up a few months' rent as deposit. You're going to have to pay a month's rent to the rental agency for commission. And all of this you'll have to do before you even know if you qualify. Now, in Italy, you can usually break a lease without penalty with normally 6 months' notice, but perhaps you can get a 3 month out clause. So if by chance you don't get the visa, then you can come to Italy, hang out for 3 months in your apartment, give your notice, and be gone. If you want to learn more about renting in Italy, just take a listen to Season 2, Episode 9, Expats Playbook on Renting in Italy for some more information on how to do that. If you have a friend or family who already lives in Italy, then yes, you can certainly live with them, but you have to rent a room from them, which is an official thing. It's not just, oh yeah, you can stay with your friend. You actually have to have a registered rental lease, even for that room. And this is going to be a very big sticking point for a lot of people. You also need to prove that you are working. So if you are a remote worker, you need an employment contract, obviously saying how much you make, how long you've been working, and who you work for. And if you are a digital nomad, you need proof of clients with a past record of income. And the longer you've had this relationship with the company that you're working for, the better. Even if you're a digital nomad, the more freelance clients you have, the better. The longer you've worked for them to prove that you've earned this money and it's reliable, the better. So keep that in mind as you're thinking about how you're going to qualify that you're working and qualify the money that you're making. Now let's talk about this highly skilled individual criteria, because it's super important. This is really what sets this visa apart. You will also need to have a university degree or a license in your field of work. So if you are a licensed therapist, for example, but you don't have a degree, your license that you have, your official license, will work in lieu of the degree. The university degree has to be at least 3 years, like a minimum 3-year program. And these types of degrees, a university degree, in our opinion, will hold the most weight in this application. So if you have each of them, show both, but thinking that the university degree will be the strongest part of your application. Both the license or the degree should be tied in some way to the work that you're doing. And that's very important as well. And both the degree and or the license will need to be translated and apostille, which is a legalization of a document to use in Italy. And this is where the digital nomad visa for Italy sets itself apart from a lot of other countries. Because in Italy, you need to prove that you are highly skilled or have a license for your occupation. So remember when I talked about the EU blue card visa, how this visa is picking up a lot of the nuances of the blue card visa. There is verbiage inside this legislation that having a superior experience in your field of absence of a degree is acceptable, but we anticipate that this is going to be a roadblock for a lot of people and that consulates are going to want to see that university degree or that license. Keep in mind that Italy's legendary bureaucracy is a very real thing, and every consulate will have its own interpretation of the law and how to apply its eligibility. It's very possible that the consulates will only accept applicants with degrees and or licenses and decline those with just a lot of experience. So if you're in that bucket, hey, I've been doing this for 20 years, but I don't have a degree, try to align your expectations from the very beginning. And you might need to wait a little bit to see how the consulates apply this visa in practice, you know, before you sell up and plan your move. Now, these are the main eligibility requirements, but there are variances to each. So you may be asked to supply other documents in addition. This visa, like all the visas in Italy, grant a permesso di soggiorno, which is a permit to stay for at least 1 year. And you can renew this permesso di soggiorno as long as you meet the same criteria the following year. But the nice thing about this is because it's for at least a year, you can bring your family with you. Now, this means that although the main applicant needs to qualify for the digital nomad visa, so they need to have all of those eligibility requirements, their spouse doesn't, and their spouse still gets all the same benefits. All you need to do is be legally married, not common law, this is important, not common law, but legally married to the visa holder, and then that spouse will gain all of the same rights as a visa holder, meaning you can work, you can go to school, your kids can go to school, and you can live in Italy without having to qualify for the visa yourself simply because your spouse has. You may be wondering what the difference is between the digital nomad visa and the self-employment visa. And I can tell you there's two major, major differences. And this is why this visa is pretty good. Now, both visas grant a renewable one-year permesso di soggiorno, that permit to stay. But the differences are this. Number one, it's the absence of the need for the nulla osta. Now, the nulla osta is a clearance. It's like there's nothing to stop you from getting this visa. Like, there's nothing in the way of getting your visa. That's a nulla osta. And this is a clearance that normally you need to get for the self-employment visa. And it can be difficult to get because sometimes your occupation doesn't fall into this specific category here. And you also need to apply for the nulla osta here in Italy. Now, the digital nomad visa, on the other hand, does not require the nulla osta. So it's going to save you a lot of time and a bureaucratic step, which in Italy is always, always a good thing. The second big difference is that there are no quotas attached to the digital nomad visa, where the self-employment visa does have quotas. And the quotas are in the decree flussi, which you may have heard of this term before. And this is the number of spots open for immigration in Italy every single year. And last year, they only gave 500 spots for the self-employment visa in all of Italy. So you can imagine it's pretty hard to get. And also, when we're dealing with the decree flussi for these immigration numbers, you could only apply at a certain time of year when that quota was released. And there's no limits to the digital nomad visa now. So they can issue an unlimited amount in theory, and you can apply any time of the year. So both of those things are very, very distinct differences and make this visa really a lot better than the self-employment visa. Okay, wait, I can hear you packing, but before you get going too far, there are some things that you need to consider. This visa targets highly skilled professionals. I've said it a few times, I'm going to keep saying it because it's super important. This isn't a visa for casual bloggers or YouTubers. This is a visa for people who have university degrees and licenses and a track record or a work record and employment contract that allows them to work remotely. Unfortunately, at this early stage, if you are a casual blogger or a YouTuber and don't have those degrees or licenses or a work contract, it's likely that your visa is going to be denied. Now, the other important consideration is that the digital nomad visa holder is required to establish tax compliance in Italy, and you'll have to open up a little business called a partita IVA and pay tax on your income that you earn while you live here. And if you're thinking, oh, how are they going to know I'm a digital nomad? Well, one of the benefits, of course, of working digitally is that you're free to work from anywhere. But on the other side of it is that there's always evidence of your work left behind because everything is done online. And also, if you want to renew your permesso di soggiorno, so your permit to stay after the first year, which is probably going to be the case because a year goes very fast and Italy is pretty nice, so you'll probably want to stay. If you're not able to prove that you are tax compliant or have been tax compliant, then you will be denied the renewal. So it's something you absolutely must do and factor into your plans. Taxes in Italy are complicated, and I'm going to be doing a future episode on this exact subject. But for now, you need to understand just one thing, that you cannot swoop into Italy as a digital nomad visa holder, work, travel, and enjoy all the life here and not pay taxes. Italy will want its share. Now, finally, I know you're wondering, where can I apply? How hard is it to apply? And how long is this all going to take? Well, first, you need to apply at a consulate in the jurisdiction from which you reside. So even if you're a digital nomad now, living in another European country, for example, you can apply for the digital nomad visa in Italy. You just have to apply in the country where you're residing. Now, not all consulates have the digital nomad visa information on their websites yet, but you can expect, hopefully, expect them to start posting information soon. The visa appointment type, by the way, will be a National D visa. That's the type that you'll be wanting to make an appointment for on the Prenota system in the Italian consulate booking system. You can go onto your consulate website, the one that's closest to you, and see if they have any details yet about the digital nomad visa. But Italian consulates are notoriously slow and they aren't really very generous in their information sharing. So don't hold your breath if you're sending them an email and they don't respond. The time frame from application to acceptance, or even just decision, can be up to 90 days, however it can take longer. And we think it's going to be similar to the self-employment visa, which at times can take up to 120 days. So plan for a long wait. And it can take a few months even just to get the appointment at the beginning. But you'll need this time anyway to prepare for your application because you will need to gather a lot of documents. Some of them you'll need to translate. You'll need to apostille others. And of course, you're going to have to write a killer cover letter before you're ready. Now, this visa is like any other Italian visa, meaning it will be discretionary and the devil is in the details, which at this early stage is still really unknown. The best we can do is use the past to predict the future, and having worked on hundreds of successful visas in the past, I expect that all will become clearer in time. And some of you will want to wait and sit back and observe for a while and see how things are playing out, and others will want to dive right in. I sit in that last box, in that last camp. So we're diving right in here at Smart Move Italy, and our visa team has selected 4 candidates to assist with the digital nomad visa from start to finish, all for free. And we're going to be posting their stories and following their journey on Instagram and in our weekly newsletter, Per Te. So be sure to subscribe and see how they progress. You'll see the links here in the show notes. In the end, I believe really that this is an exceptional opportunity for so many people who couldn't qualify for other visas in the past, and that Italy offers a unique lifestyle that everyone should have the chance to experience, if even just for a year. So how about you? Are you ready to make the leap and apply for the digital nomad visa? If you are, and you don't want to risk going it alone and want the help of our expert visa team, or maybe you just have some questions, feel free to visit our website at smartmoveitaly.com/digitalnomad. Now remember, most people only have 80 summers to enjoy their life. Why not spend one of them in beautiful Italy? Thanks for tuning in and join me next time as we explore more ways to make your Italian dreams come true. Ciao for now. It's time for listener questions. Just like the old radio call-in shows, my team has picked 3 listener questions, all left on our voicemail. I have no idea what these questions are, but I haven't been stumped yet. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Hi, Samantha. This is Karen. How long does it take to get citizenship in Italy once you purchase or rent something there? I'm thinking of moving to Italy full-time in the next couple of years, I hope. So these questions answered would be a huge help. Thank you so much, Samantha. I can't wait to hear your answers.
Well, hello, Karen. Thanks for the question. So your question, how long does it take to get citizenship in Italy? So it depends on the way that you're applying. If you are wanting to get citizenship through naturalization, which means that you are moving to Italy, you live here, you're a legal resident, and you're putting in your time to claim citizenship, in Italy, if you're in that boat, you have to live in Italy for 10 years as a legal resident before you can apply for Italian citizenship. You'll also need at that application time to be a level B1 for your citizenship and also prove that you have been a legal tax-paying resident for those 10 years. If you are, however, applying as jus sanguinis, so let's say you have ancestors and your line follows a certain pathway that allows you to apply directly in Italy, Depending on where you live, it could take between 4 to 12 months and everything can be done. So there's two ways you can be a citizen. You can be through naturalization or through your ancestry.
Hi, Samantha. This is Lenore Sturkey-Rivetta. I'm asking if you can give me some specific reasons why the Bowdy Regional Court is on one of the worst lists to apply for citizenship. I'm concerned because that is the regional court where I'm supposed to be going to for applying due to my ancestry. So any more specific information would be very, very helpful. Thank you. Particularly with regard to the minor issue, I'm concerned because I have a minor case.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for your question. So you can apply for Italian citizenship through jus sanguinis, meaning you have an ancestor, an Italian ancestor in the past. So by blood, you're Italian. There's different ways that your application can qualify. So there's different routes. The one that you're speaking of, obviously, your citizenship had to pass through a female before 1948, because in the past, females did not have the right to pass their citizenship forward before 1948. And obviously, this is unconstitutional. So there's a line in the sand now that says, if the citizenship was passed forward before 1948, meaning from one generation to another through a woman, through a female, before 1948, you have to go to court. And this was actually just a matter of procedure. And for many, many, many years, this has just been, like I say, procedure, no problems in court at all. But about 3 years ago, there was a ruling from a court in Rome, from a judge in Rome, who decided that even in a 1948 petition court case, in that jurisdiction, if the child was still a minor at that time, meaning under the age of 21, when the mother or the female or anyone in the line had naturalized, then we call it a minor issue. And that means that they say, in fact, that that minor child was also lost their citizenship because of the action of the adult to the minor. And what has happened a few years ago when this decision was made, it was a frenzy, I can tell you. And everybody, all of our lawyers, everyone was freaking out, and a lot of applicants, because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel like it was a decision that people had been using in the past. So we've all been doing a lot of appeals in the last few years. And unfortunately, all of the appeals are being, lost. They're being struck down. So it's holding. This decision in Rome is holding. And really what this means is that if you have a case where there's a minor issue, meaning that the next in line was under the age of 21 when the citizenship had to be passed through before 1948, you will almost for sure lose the case in court. So whatever lawyer that you have, you can talk to them about that and find out what their approach is. In most cases, we don't take minor cases anymore because we feel that the chances of your success are so slim that there's no point in taking your money for something that we don't think is going to succeed. So unfortunately, this is what has been holding up in these courts now in Italy. Now, the only difference is, the only hope, and there still is a little bit of hope, not to sound too negative, is that also around the same time, a year or so after that decision was made, the courts for the 1948 used to have to go to Rome. Now they move them to all of the regional courts of the ancestors. So although in Italy, decisions are often followed, they're not binding of other judges. So it is possible that a judge in your ancestor's jurisdiction will rule opposite to this Roman court judge. So there is a possibility. So it's not 100% of a loss, but it's just the likelihood of losing on this type of a decision is pretty high.
Hi, Samantha. This is Diana. I have a question about residency and some of the things we've heard about it. Are there specific places in Italy that are easier to get residency than others?
Well, hello, Diana. Thank you for the question. So residency in Italy is a bureaucratic procedure, and people use it really quite flippantly in a lot of ways. Like, when do I take a residence? I want to be a resident in Italy. And they get it confused with visas or permesso di soggiorno and all of the other things. So let me clarify. A resident in Italy means that you have declared that you live in Italy, that you live at a specific comune, so a municipality, and because of that, you will be able to get the benefits of being a resident. And some of those benefits are being able to open up a bank account or join the healthcare system or buying a car, for example. These things are only available to residents of Italy. You cannot be a resident of Italy. You cannot claim residency in Italy unless you have first passed through immigration, because you can't live here unless you have a legal way to stay here, obviously. So usually what happens if somebody is a non-European, then they'll have a visa and they get their visa, they arrive, then they apply for their permesso di soggiorno, which is their permit to stay. That's all about immigration. And once they've gone to the end of that road, the immigration road, then they can apply for residency. If they're coming here for citizenship, then they go down. It's usually flipped the other way, makes it a little bit more complicated. However, if you are a European citizen and or Italian citizen, dual citizen moving to Italy, your immigration is really your citizenship. So you can go directly to, because you have immigration already settled, because you're allowed to come to Italy and live here without a visa. So therefore, you can go directly to your comune, to the Anagrafe office, and declare your residency. So the question is, some places easier than other? All places are the same when it comes to residency. And because it's just in law, you're just going in, you have to show them some documents that you live there. And depending on how you're there, there's a different kind set of documents, of course, like maybe your permit to stay if you're on a visa, or your citizenship, and of course your passport, these kinds of things. But every single comune will allow your residency as long as your legal immigration side has been covered off. Well, that's all for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions about visas, citizenship, property, and, well, really anything about moving to Italy that you would like me to answer in an upcoming episode, please feel free to send us a voicemail at our website at smartmoveitaly.com/podcast, or just click on the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you can find all of the resources and the links to the people and the places that I mentioned in this episode inside the show notes. Ciao for now. A New Life in Italy podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created and hosted by me, Samantha Wilson. Production by London Nero, and with special thanks to Ali Frothingham, Sofia Pisana, and the entire team at Sentire. Follow A New Life in Italy wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you're thinking of moving to Italy, whether full-time, part-time, or for a lifetime, come and see me over at smartmoveitaly.com, and we'll help you get here and start living your best life. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate and leave a review. It's much appreciated. I can't wait to meet up with you again next week, same time, same place. Ciao for now.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's sentiremedia.com, and find out how to submit your show.